There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. My name is Sean Wolfswinkel. I'm here with Joni, and also Brett Moses is in the house. Yeah, how are you?
Good. Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, we're excited to be back and, you know, share more. We've spent the several episodes, you know, talking about our personal journey, letting you guys get to know us better and notice our struggles and, you know, where we came from and give you at least a foundation so that we can build from there. So today we're going to get more into business. We're going to talk, you know, kind of some of the techniques and a good book that we recommend and something that really helped us, you know, scale our companies, not just a company, but, and also build a solid leadership team and organization within our company. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to get into, the book's called Scaling Up. It's written by Vern Harnish. You know, we, took the book a couple of years ago, read it. We had also before that read, EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System. Both are great books. I know a lot of you guys out there have read both of them. I think more people probably implemented, EOS into their business. And the way I have heard, you know, people distinguish between the two, you know, books is, EOS is for like 0 to 2 million in sales. And then, Scaling Up, you know, is 2 million in larger, you know, much larger organizations, 100 employee organizations. But, you know, we hired a Scaling Up business coach through the Growth Institute to help us. So we had a coach for a year and a half. Awesome guy, still friends with him and get into a little bit about
I mean, I think why we kind of taken it back a little bit, why we hired a Scaling Up coach to begin with was, you know, we love to travel. For those that know us, you know that we're, you know, out of town. Before COVID, we were on vacation, you know, once or twice a month with our family. You know, how we kind of recuperate. And so we were finding, though, you know, going on vacation, we were answering phone calls, emails, you know, to all hours of the night. And so it really wasn't a vacation. We weren't really focused on our family. You know, coming back from a vacation, we're almost needing to take another vacation, you know, from a vacation. So, we figured that we needed to do something about it, and we needed to, you know, put processes and procedures in place and leadership team in place. So we can do those things.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you can relate that, you know, it's, sometimes it's difficult, you know, especially being an entrepreneur and if you hold wear a lot of hats in your company, and as you're scaling, you know, usually as you're scaling a company, you know, you're growing so fast that usually you're short, you know, you don't have the revenue maybe necessarily to pay for the employees that you truly need. So you're always just feels like, you know, you're just kicking and kicking below water, you know, just trying to stay ahead. So, as you can, when you're traveling and, you know, you really, it's hard to shut down and maybe we're just too involved, but it, you know, it was always hard for us to not bring our phones, not check our email, you know, not be taking phone calls. So mm-hmm. It's a struggle, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that.
Yeah.
Another aspect to that is, though, is, you know, does your business truly run without you? And does it, you know, it can it run without you? Maybe it doesn't need to, but can it? You know, if you step away or say you get sick or, you know, say you need to take care of a family member, can you take yourself out of your company, and will it run, you know, with you but not being there? You know, is it sustainable? Is it sellable too? You know, can it? So if you exit the company, is the company just about you? And so the minute you leave it, it's gone. Or is it, you know, does it have residual income that's going to perform every month? I think you got to look at all those aspects and really analyze your business. And is it something that can be sold or something that somebody wants to buy? And then will it run, you know, whether you're there or not? And so tell them about like what we did last year to kind of to start.
Yeah, so I mean, to start, I mean, we once we did the whole scaling up, and you know, we thought, okay, let's we got everything in place, leadership team, processes and procedures, and we wanted to test it and say, okay, let's go ahead and, you know, stress test the business and see if it really does run without us. So we actually took an entire month off last June. To really, you know, spend with our family and do things that our kids wanted to do. And I mean, this was not just like you take a vacation, you know, and you answer an email here and there, answer a phone call. This was like completely off the grid, you know, no phone calls, no texts, no emails. I mean, we were just off the grid. And it was stressful. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there were times where Sean and I were like, oh my gosh, should we check in, with the team to see how they're doing? You know, and when we put all this in place, they were all for it. They were excited because, you know, we had faith and trust in them that they could do it. And so, yeah, I mean, it was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't, The trip was awesome, and what we did during those times was awesome. But yeah, I was like going through withdrawals, you know. So it'd been 19 years that we had been just at it, and then to step away for an entire month was hard. I think it was harder on us than it was probably our employees. The business ran fine, nothing, you know, and not a lot can change in a month, but still the company still grew, you know. We perform like we should, you know,
and we probably perform better than what we would before. And I think one of the things that I learned was, you know, because when I'm in the office, I feel sometimes employees come to me because they're like, oh, well, let me just get Joni's perspective on it, you know. And what I've learned is like, well, ask them a lot of questions, you know. If they're asking you like, you know, hey, you know, what would you do in this situation, and you know, revert it back and say, well, what would you do? And try to code. Most of the time they know the answers to these questions. They just, you know, don't have the confidence to answer them. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I found was, you know, you just let them lead, you know, and delegate more was the biggest thing.
Yeah. And once they are forced to make that decision, you're not there to bail them out. They have to. So they have to do it regardless. So it allowed them to do that. Yeah. So. But leading up to that, you know, some of the big takeaways from the book that we got and our coach from the Growth Institute was, first and foremost, we needed a strong leadership team. Mm-hmm. So that's something we built with our coach. We took, I think at that time it was 8 key employees that we felt, you know, were necessary and vital to the company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we met regularly once a week, and we still do today. But and they're our strongest leaders. They're the ones that we come with ideas. Everybody shares. Everybody has the best interests of the company. They have key positions, so they know what's going on in all aspects of the organization. And but to be honest with you, that when we first tried this, we failed. Mm-hmm. If you remember, we failed horribly. So when we first tried this, we went out and we were missing some key employees. So we went out and hired a headhunter to find us some key people. We paid more than we had ever paid in as far as salaries. And it just bombed. I mean, we got part of it. I think we relied too much on the headhunters and rather than relying still on our own hiring processes that we had. But if you remember, it just got worse.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have the right people in place, you know? And so, we kind of went backwards a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we relied on them a little too much instead of, you know, still following our same processes with, you know, hiring and, you know, doing what we needed to on our end. We just kind of fully relied on them, and it was a bomb.
Yeah. And Joni and I always believe in hiring people smarter than you. And it probably, speaking for myself, it doesn't take much, but the, you know, the... And when we do that, we relied on them, and we didn't, I think we let go of some of our own initiatives or intuitions that we knew weren't right. And yet we should have followed our gut, you know, as the owners or entrepreneurs, we knew what was the best.
Yeah, we knew. I mean, we talk a lot about our company and our culture, you know, and having the right culture fit. And I mean, we, you know, just relied on them totally, and most of them weren't even the right culture fit for us.
Yeah, and we ended up, you know, obviously letting those key individuals go. We went to a very linear org chart, and where everybody was pretty much reporting to Joni and I again.
Which made it tough. Was terrible. I mean, for everything, they would come to us, and so we didn't have a life, really.
Yeah, and then from there, we rebuilt and, put in the right people and really heavily focused. And I've always said this from the beginning, the right people on the bus. So people make fun of me in our company that I'm always talking about our bus. And someday I'm going to rent a bus and we're going to all go to lunch or something in a yellow bus. But we needed the right, first and foremost, we always hire to find the right people on the bus to make sure they're going to be the right fit. And then we find the right seat for them. And some of our key employees to this today came in interviewing for a different position, and we just knew that they were right for this position, and they excelled and blossomed. And
absolutely.
So always first and foremost, right person on the bus, and then second, the right seat. Another thing we did, you know, that's part of the book is, our monthly, meeting rhythm. And so we started our daily huddles, which are awesome.
Yeah,
so
our huddles are incredible. It's, we have several different companies, so we all kind of huddle in together. The first 15 minutes really of the day, we kind of go over, priorities for the day. We go over stucks, and then, of course, good news. We have several virtual assistants, and so, that's part of it too. We want them to feel like they're part of our team. So, and that's the only way it really works if you have your virtual assistants as, huddle in and make them as part of your team.
And they are part of the team.
Yeah.
And so they,
being so far away though, sometimes you can feel like, kind of disengaged. But the huddles really help with that.
And that's the first 15 minutes of the day. We meet at 9:38 every morning. Everybody around some of these people are in different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. Or the world, I'm sorry, and then we have our other office in Albuquerque, so we all meet it together, huddle up. Before COVID-19, obviously, we were meeting, the people in our Houston office and then the Albuquerque, they would meet together in the conference rooms, and we use an OWL system on Zoom, and then so it gets the whole 360 view of the entire conference room, and it picks up on who's talking, and it's a neat experience. Obviously, with COVID, we went remote. Everybody, and then we're still meeting through Zoom, and everybody meets in their own offices, but so still can be done. All our meetings are still done through Zoom, and we're still practicing the same meeting rhythm just virtually. And then we went on to doing our leadership weekly meetings. Mm-hmm. So go into what we talk about kind of our leadership.
Yeah, I mean, the leadership meetings are more high level, it's not the day-to-day, what can we improve type of things. It's, more in-depth, like how can we, grow. Everybody has an opportunity to share, something that we do is each week, somebody will lead that leadership meeting, and so that way we can try to get to their initiatives as well.
Yeah, so they choose a different leader for each week. They usually bring and some material to prepare, and we'll send that out ahead of time so that we can prepare for the meeting, and then we all bring our ideas, collaborate, and it's amazing what the team and can the ideas that. Mm-hmm. And for years it was always like the Sean and Joni show. And it was always like we had to bring the ideas to the table constantly. And that's fine for a while. But eventually, when you're bringing on smarter people than you are, they have great ideas. And you should see, like, people from the receptionist up can bring, because they're on the front lines. They're interacting with the clients. They know better than you and I anymore today. And they know. So they bring some ideas that are like, just blows us away, and if we implement them, actually they get rewards.
Absolutely. Last month what we did was each department had to present a process that maybe can improve their department, which is kind of cool, and so everybody presented on it, and we chose the winner of it, and we implemented that process.
And some really great ideas. So and then we do quarterly meetings, and that's usually done off-site with the leadership team. Mm-hmm. We do a day event somewhere, You know, we go over our look, we reflect on where we've been. You know, did we hit our initiatives? Do we have any rocks that we need to, you know, tackle? And then from there, we went on to planning for the next quarter.
Yeah.
And so those are always awesome to see. The biggest thing is that that just blows me away is like how quickly we're knocking out those initiatives. Especially this year.
Yeah, we did pretty good this year. Another thing that scaling up has taught us as well is, I mean, we have several different locations. And so for you and I, it was really hard to manage each location, right? And so now we're all aligned. So before, like, Albuquerque was doing, you know, kind of their own thing, and Houston maybe was doing something different. And now we're all doing the same thing, you know, and so we're, all of our companies are aligned now.
Yeah, it's a great, yeah, there's no silos. They're not individuals, and we're a team, even though we're in different markets,
right,
and maybe different companies. But yeah, that was awesome to align everybody. Some of the individuals that are on our leadership team in different markets, they actually fly for, and we all meet together for the quarterly, except for obviously now with COVID, we're not flying right now, but at least we're still meeting virtually. And then our last is our annual meeting that we do with our leadership team. It's offsite again, but we usually do it. So last year we went to Waco and went to the Chip and Joanna gained silos and did all that stuff there. And so we make it fun. But we meet somewhere offsite for a couple of days, spend some time together, build that unity. Cause I mean, these are the people that are leading our companies and our organization. And so we get to know them on a personal level. They get to know us. And then we obviously share what we're going to do for that year and reflect on last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you get any, did you enjoy the last?
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. I mean, it gave me a chance to get to know each of the leadership team on a more personal level.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, we, went deep into our business and, I mean, we, came out with a lot of great ideas, and I think we pretty much nailed all those.
It was pretty awesome too, because we stayed in one of Chip and Joanna Gaines' houses that they had renovated and flipped, and so it was neat to stay in that. And the tour bus comes by, so we're sitting there doing our meetings, you know, one day, and like the tour bus comes by every 30 minutes, and so we just go by the window and wave to them all, and it was a fun experience. We had a really good time. So another thing we got from the book that we then implemented and took was we kind of looked at our full customer experience timeline. So we actually whiteboarded and took along a whole wall of our conference room and just, okay, from initial marketing material that the client gets or a pay-per-click ad, and then all the way through to the entire experience, you know, our full customer experience timeline to when they finally sell the house or terminate with us or whatever, you know, we went through every touch point that we have with the client and really improved on each process.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, that was a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. And, I give a lot of credit to Brett back here, you know, our marketing director. He, did a lot with our team on the customer service side, and, you know,
playbook.
Yeah, we did, our sales playbook. And then we do our customer service roundup every week, you know, just, because you do get those, you know, odd questions where maybe a team member doesn't know how to answer them. And, you know, we really want to provide the best customer service we can to, you know, all of our clients. So we really, really work hard on that.
And the team was awesome. I mean, from our operations managers, director to maintenance director, I mean, they just took some huge initiatives on and really built those. And so it's awesome to see, and took technology that we hadn't implemented yet and really built on them. So, and then the last probably step, the biggest aha or takeaway for me, in order to do all this was you and I, but more specifically me, was to delegate.
Yeah.
I think throughout this, I think our coach really helped me understand and see the perspective that I was the bottleneck in lot of things.
And I think, you know, one of the first things that you did was we hired an executive assistant that, you know, was a huge game changer for you and I. I did a study. I kind of journaled everything that I was doing throughout the day, and it was amazing, like, how much I spent on just emails, you know, and I think you were the same. And so hiring that executive assistant really, you know, helped with that. And we can do things that we needed to, build the business versus working in the business, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do without her today. No. I mean, it would be, she's awesome, and she ends up, she serves in National Guard, and so the couple of days that she's gone, I mean, it you notice the big hole or gap, and I'm like, man, I need her back quickly. But
and going back to when we took the entire month off, I mean, not having an executive assistant, that would have been painful because I think she, for the most part, took it all. She responded for us, and she assisted in pretty much any way.
So yeah, so our just so you guys know, our executive assistant monitors our email, responds when necessary. Took a lot of the tasks that, if you really analyze, and I highly recommend this, is you just take a whole week and just have a notebook beside you. And so throughout the day, you just write down everything you did throughout the day. And I found I was spending hours in email.
Hours at least a day. 85% in emails.
Yeah, just responding to emails and handling emails. And it was like, what am I doing? I'm not bettering the company. I'm not furthering along. And so, taking that off my plate was mm-hmm. huge. We had some things that I was just thought I had to do, but I didn't. Once I found out I can delegate this, people actually do a lot better job of it than I am. And so, and you'll realize that as you, implement and delegate, you'll find out that there's actually better processes and people will develop better ways of doing things than you did. And sometimes maybe not, but at least it's better that they're doing it. And even if they do it like 85% of what you could do it, mm-hmm. it's still better because then you can now take your company and grow it or focus on a new venture or, just take time away from with your family and just get a break for a while. We went into a little bit about the vacation, the month that we took off. We first started with just Fridays, mm-hmm. if you remember that.
You started to take Fridays off, but what's funny was that Sean started to feel guilty because he was taking Fridays off, and, none of the employees had those Fridays off. So we went to 4-10s for a little bit. You remember
just
that?
Just so I didn't feel guilty, yeah.
So just he didn't feel guilty about it. But it didn't work out. We went back to normal schedule.
Guys.
I was
like,
hey, you don't have to feel guilty about it, And honestly, I loved my Fridays off because it was time, that I mean, you need those times just to think, mm-hmm. I feel, a moment of silence, nothing going on, just thinking and taking notes from your thoughts. And, and for me, I mean, I was able to write my book during that time. Mm-hmm. It was awesome, taking those Fridays off.
Yeah, I called them my thinking days. And it was, I highly recommend, even if you can just get a day a month, and just take those mm-hmm. that time for yourself. It's not selfish. It's time you need. It's time to,
because when you come back, you're so much more productive.
Absolutely. And then we took the month off. We want to get into it. Just a little bit of what we did how we structured it.
Yeah, we actually spent I think a couple weeks in Hawaii. And then we came back and we went backpacking in New Mexico for a week with our kids. So that was pretty awesome. We're, didn't have any cell phone,
Yeah, it didn't work anyway.
It didn't work. And so we camped out there for a week and just quality time with our family.
We survived. Yeah. So if you know me, I'm not the outdoors kind of guy. And so... I could barely pitch a tent. We survived. We made it. Kids had a blast, and it was just good, time with no technology. So
Those are memories that they will cherish forever, even to this date. They talk about, Mom, when are we gonna go back? And I had so much fun camping, and it's just the little things that they get excited about.
Yeah. Did during what did you think as far as the company? Any takeaways as far as maybe things that didn't go well or things that, we could have been improved on?
I mean, there's always things that you can improve on. I think the biggest thing was allowing them to lead, I was finding that when I was in the office, I was, more outspoken and so kind of leading the show, where now I kind of take a step back and let the leadership team lead.
And
it, I mean, it works out great, and you know, everything was just fine when we came back.
Yeah, and I think some of the ahas for me too was in that scenario was I felt we, you and I provide a little bit of that grit, that hustle, that some can probably as pressure, you know, that we bring to the, sometimes it took it. The intensity. That's a good word for it. And it you need that. I understand that at times it can be too long of that, too much, probably, you know, can wear on people. But I know that that's what we bring to the table, and that's because that's what we've done for so many years, and we know that's what it takes to succeed. But I think that fell a little bit when we were gone. It's maybe they didn't think that. I don't know. I felt they thought, you know, not that they took it to a vacation too, but that they didn't have that drive.
Yeah, somebody they get driving that loose them a little bit, you know, yeah. and that's, I think that's normal. But I think if anything, that's something that we can work on. I mean, you know, even to this day, I think when we take a couple weeks off, we still feel that. So, yeah.
And I think we saw there was a couple performance issues that I think we could have improved on. You know, and had to make some changes with those. And that's probably what brought where we didn't feel that drive was the people that aren't performing or you know, they're going to be exposed or the light's going to shine on them, especially if you or I were compensating for them. And so I think, you know, some of those are going to come out as well.
Yeah. Now that you bring that up, we didn't bring up our key performance. Actually, the KPIs reports, you know, we do that every day as well. And so we track our numbers, how many leases we've done, how many, you know, outstanding work orders are out there. And so, again, you know, monitoring that. And we have goals for each department. So if they're not meeting those, then we'll know.
Yeah. And everybody knows, actually, because we publish the KPI reports and it's public to the whole organization. So, you know, if somebody's not hitting their numbers, and we even have it color coded. So it's green if they're hitting their numbers, yellow if they're not hit that yet, and red if they missed their mark. Mm-hmm. And I think they're super green if they just blow out of the water their numbers. And so you can really track
and everybody can see it. And we make it fun. We make it a competition. You know, they get excited about, you know, if they're leading in their department. You know, something that our team rolled out was Shoney Bucks. So they get, you know, rewarded with Shoney Bucks if they meet their goals for the month. So
yeah, the Shoney Bucks are pretty cool. So it's a dollar bill with Joni and I, with our face or us standing together, I think from a Christmas party. But the Shoney Bucks is much like a where we take our kids, what is that called?
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, one of those where you get so many rewards or tickets, and then they get to add those up, and they get it for showing our core values for Cheers for Peers, where if they do, you know, some get rewarded, they get rewarded, you know, they do something good within the organization, somebody else calls it out and says, hey, somebody help me out with this, they get Shoney Bucks. When they hit goals or when they hit different performance levels, they get Shoney Bucks, and then there's these prizes that obviously they get, and probably the ultimate prize is, I think, $500.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty cool. And they can save them up if they wanted to for something bigger.
Yeah. So days off and paid days off. And so it's fun. The team,
they get excited about that.
Yeah. Probably the last couple of things I want to talk about from scaling up was, I think we also, which really helped us and it really made a difference into what we're going through now with COVID-19 and a lot of business are going through, is we looked at our cash positions with our business coach. And so we cut expenses wherever we could. And it's amazing. You just take your credit card statement for your company and just look at the recurring charges and stuff that, like, you're like, wow,
I'm paying for that. How long have I been paying for that?
Years. And you didn't even know what it was there. Yeah. So I'd highly recommend that. We looked at ways we could generate more revenue.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what came out of that within our leadership team. So we implemented new programs that I don't think we were trying to create different revenue streams and create more cash. I don't know if we would have, if we didn't have that focus, I don't know if we would have come up with all those different revenue programs that we
implemented. I don't think so either. And it's to, you know, benefit, you know, the residents and the owners. So
it adds value.
It's adding value, absolutely.
To them. And, yeah. and so both of them are getting rewarded. And at the same time, we're making additional mm-hmm. revenue within our company. So I think all those really helped us to having the highest revenue per unit mm-hmm. in the industry. And we're one of the top out there. And so... And a lot of that just had to do with us just focusing on our cash positions.
Yeah.
And then we also looked, lastly, was how could we receive revenue quicker? Mm-hmm. You know, was there areas that we could get the money earlier than waiting 90 days to collect on it or something like, you know, just improving our cash flow.
Right.
And I think all that helped us to where, like, we didn't feel anything in COVID-19. We were able to keep moving. We had cash reserves. We were positioned for something like this, even though we didn't have any idea it was coming.
Yeah.
But so anyways, we're going to end with that. I think we got into a little bit of the whole book and what we took from it and what we've implemented over the years. We'll get into more down the road on SWOT. I think that's another key thing that, which look, you just analyze your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You know, that we took away from that working out of the book and from our coach. But we hope you got your value out of that. We hope, you know, all of you that do have businesses yourself, or maybe you can take a few nuggets away and implement them in the company you work for. Mm-hmm. But we hope you got some benefit and value out of that. Continue to follow us on Inside the Wolf's Den on Facebook, iTunes,
YouTube,
Stitcher. Yes, follow us. If you want to follow us personally, we'd love for you, you know, we'd love to get your feedback. We'd love to hear from all of you and just share with us what you're getting out of the podcast.
Yeah.
You can follow Joni at Joni M. Wolf on Instagram. I'm Sean the Wolf on Instagram. We're on Facebook. Anywhere yeah. else in LinkedIn, but we would love to, you know, connect with you guys. You know, if we can add value to anybody, we'd love to connect and go from there. So follow us, like this show. We can't do it without you guys liking and sharing it. So, have a great week and we'll see you next week.
See you guys.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.